for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday afternoon, September the 5th, 2004. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Cheryl Batts of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the minister on this.
Well, another one of those times when I definitely decrease and God increases. I don't know where he's going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we just praise you and give you the glory and all of the honor. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for these, your people who have come to hear a fresh word from you. I decrease that you may increase right now, Father God, in my life. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be a vessel for you. I thank you, Father God, for these, your people who need your love. They need your guidance. They need deliverance so that they can walk a daily lifestyle that will be that you would get the glory from. I thank you for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we have really been fed these past few days, and the word hasn't been. Sometimes they say that you get a word and it's so much word and it's so strong that you can't understand it. It takes you 2 days to just weed yourself through it. But the word that God has been giving us so far has been a word, a timely word, and a word given to us that we can understand it and understand it immediately. And the immediate understanding is another part of the deliverance, the miracle-working ministry of deliverance that God has given us. I think that every person who has experienced deliverance on any level has experienced a miracle from God. But truly, it is a miracle. For the violent taketh by force, and our deliverance comes from the spirit realm. So therefore, the spirit taketh by force, and as we are released in our spirit, then we are released in our flesh to be able to carry the glory of God so that people looking at us can see who he is in us. And the more deliverance we get, the easier it is for us to step out of the way so that people can really see him and not us. You know, it only becomes a problem if we have pet demons and secret demons that we like to hold on to. But the ministry of deliverance is such it's such a ministry that it opens you up just enough for you to want more. And the more you get, the better it is. Amen? Amen. What I have today for you, there were several things that kept coming to my mind. So I don't really know exactly which one it is. One said makeup, cover up, or dress up. The other one was no matter what you do, but there is hope. And hope in Jesus Christ. And I think really out of all of that, as I read the scripture that God gave me, and we're going to go to Jeremiah 4, it's return to me. Return to me. I like the amplified version of Jeremiah 4. So for those who are reading along in the KJV, the King James Version, that's fine. That's where I went to at first. And then as I began to read the amplified version, it became a lot clearer what God was saying. We'll start with the first verse. It says, if you will return, O Israel. And how many of you know that we are spiritually Israel, right? Says the Lord, if you will return to me, and if you will put away your abominable false gods out of my sight, and not stray or waver, and if you swear, as the Lord lives, in truth, in judgment and justice, and in righteousness, uprightness in every area and relation, then the nations will bless themselves in him, and in him will they glory. And in the Amplified Version, the word him there is capitalized, which means that we're talking about God here. And it says, then the nations will bless themselves in him. How can there be nothing but a blessing for when you enter into the presence of the Lord? Everything that we need is in the presence of the Lord. And as we enter into that presence and we come out again, just like Moses when he came out of the presence of God, they said the glory was on his face and they said, oh, put a handkerchief on your face. That's just too much glory. We cannot handle it. So as Moses entered into the presence of God and we enter into the presence of God, when we come out again, we come out with the presence and the glory of God upon us. And as we walk into a world of darkness, we can be nothing else but what Matthew tells us that we are. And that is what we have to be, a light in a dark world. And as we move out of his presence and move back into a dark world and people begin to see that light, what happens? They then begin to ask, who are you? Where do you come from? There's such a, and sometimes they can't even find the words to express what they see in you and upon you. And so you begin to talk to them, and in that moment and that time, because many times that's all we have is a quick moment. We don't always have 3 or 4 days to witness to somebody. Sometimes all you have is that one quick moment in the grocery store, that one quick moment in the laundromat, that one quick moment buying your airline ticket, that one quick moment sitting beside somebody on the plane going from one destination point to another. You only have that one quick moment to get that word into them and to let them know who this Him is that the Bible is talking about. And as they see that Him in you and you lead them to Him, then they can take glory in that. They can be blessed in that. Because how many of you know salvation is a blessing? So as we give ourselves to being in His presence and walking and living His Word on a daily basis, we offer an opportunity, a miracle opportunity for those that are around us to share in this miracle-making experience of who God really is, how much He loves you, and how such a great God that spoke a world into existence cares so much about them that in that moment and that time, in that space, He reaches out to them through you. Amen? So if we would return to Him in prayer on a daily basis and come out each time full of the glory and full of the presence of the Lord, how many people will we be able to bring into Him? You know, they talk about crown Him with many crowns. The crowning of Him can be the people that come into the kingdom that you birth in through your intercession, that you birth in by going in unto the Lord and hearing His word. We are what? We are the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And only a bride can birth. So as we birth, and these people are birthed, and they come through, and the crown, what's the first thing that you see when the child is born? The crown. So as we are birthing people through and birthing them into the kingdom of God, these crowns of righteousness, these people that we're birthing in, become His crowns of righteousness, because in Him are many crowns of righteousness. It's like the mansions that are in heaven. It's not just one mansion. He doesn't need us to come and build a mansion. There are many mansions in heaven. So within those mansions are other mansions. Amen? Within the tribe of Israel, within Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how many tribes were there? How many sons were there? So there are many things. God is so, He's a multiple, He's one God with multiple facets. We talked about Him being ever-changing yet consistent. There's only a God can be ever-changing yet consistent. We can't do that. The more we try to be changing, the more schizophrenic we look. The God can change every day and be everything to all people at all times and still be the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? Amen. Verse 3. But thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your ground left uncultivated for a season so that you may not sow among thorns. We learned upstairs, the women today, that means that when you talk about the ground, it's usually talking about the heart. It's a symbolic thing. And when you leave your heart uncultivated by prayer, uncultivated by the word, uncultivated by prayer, by fasting, uncultivated by that communication with God, soon enough, thistles and thorns will begin to grow in that place. And I believe that you can even say, because it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So as those thistles and thorns grow, I think Diane was talking yesterday about the adder, about coming out of the tongue and the things that you say to people. What does the Word tell us? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if ground in the Bible, because the Old Testament is symbolic, represents our hearts, then in your heart, where there are thorns and bristles, there's snakes and adders. And when you open your mouth to speak, that's what comes out. So we need to cultivate our ground and make sure it stays cultivated and clear by prayer and fasting and worship to the Lord. Amen? Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your hearts. You men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my wrath go forth like fire, consuming all that gets in its way, and burn so that no one can quench it because of your evil doings. Now, I see that as another part of deliverance. It says here that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. When we came out of the world, there was so much that we had inside of us that was not good. And as deliverance is ministered to you, there are times, how many of you, when deliverance comes, you feel like you're on fire? And you sweat. And you cry. I feel like when I'm getting deliverance, I feel like I'm on fire. And it makes me think that the fire and the finger of God is consuming everything in me that is evil. Everything that is not like Him. It's just working itself through. Amen? The fire and finger of God. That's why when I pray for people sometimes for deliverance, I loose the fire and finger of God against the enemy that has set up establishments in their lives. Declare in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow the trumpet in the land, cry aloud and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the fortified cities. Raise a standard toward Zion to mark out the safest route to those seeking safety within Jerusalem's walls. Flee for safety. Stay not, for I bring evil from the north and great destruction. A lion has gone up from his thicket, and a destroyer of nations is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make your land a desolate waste, and your cities shall be left in ruins without an inhabitant. For this, gird yourselves with sackcloth, lament, and wail. For the fierce anger of the Lord has not turned back from us, and it shall be in that day, says the Lord, that the understanding and courage of the king shall fail or be paralyzed, and also that of the princes. The priests shall be appalled and the prophets astounded and dazed with horror. Then Jeremiah said, alas, Lord God, surely you have greatly deceived and misled this people and Jerusalem, for the prophets represented you as saying to your people, you shall have peace, whereas the sword has reached to their very life. At that time it will be said to this people and to Jerusalem, a hot wind from the bare heights in the wilderness comes at my command against the daughter of my people, not a wind to fan or cleanse from shaft as when threshing, but a wind too strong and full for winnowing comes at my word. Now I will also speak in judgment against my people. And it goes on to say, and we'll skip now and go over, so you get the understanding of what Jeremiah 4 is saying. That God says, if we do not return unto Him, that these are the things that will befall Him. And I believe that as a people of God, we need to be very cautious that we are not falling away from God just by sitting in churches that are doing the same thing all the time. I know I'm tired of church as usual. I've been going and God has had me in denominational churches and the people are so hungry. They cry out for what we have here. They cry out to be able to enter into the presence of the Lord and come back out changed instead of the bumping and the jumping that they're doing. And when they finish, nothing has changed. They want what we have, and the only way to make sure that they get what we have is to continue to walk in daily life of deliverance and not just do it on Sunday, but make sure that you're living this life daily, Monday through Sunday. It is a lifestyle. I have to go back to that because I still think that some of us feel that deliverance is something that we do on Sunday or when we go to camp meeting. Deliverance is a lifestyle, and it is something that as you go into the presence of God and He delivers you and He sets you free, that you have wisdom. These are a part of the gifts that you have when you go in unto the Lord. We have to be good witnesses, but I believe it's in Proverbs that says that he who wins souls is wise. We've got to be wise in our evangelistic outreach. We have to understand that everybody is not getting the strong word teaching that talks about the word and splits the word and takes it from a milky word and a soupy word to a full piece of beef where people can get saved and miracles can be wrought by what we say and what we do. And we have to have faith. Faith seems to be one of the things that even though we see people delivered here, we walk right out of here, and the faith that you have to see somebody delivered, for some reason, it stays right there in that area. And the same faith that got somebody delivered is the same faith that will allow you to speak into your life and the life of your family so that they can be delivered, so they can be healed, so they can be saved, so that your finances can be blessed. You have to believe that. You also have to believe that a good cake, a good lifestyle in the Lord is not going to come from a microwave. Them good pound cakes with all that butter and that egg that taste so good that great-grandma and grandma used to fix, she is not about to put it in the microwave. So it's going to take a little time. All the demons and all the things that God has been delivering us of and wants to deliver us of, how long did it take for us to get them? How long did it take for us to get them? So do you think that you're going to be delivered of them overnight? No. Why? Let's see. Where is the scripture at? One of you Bible scholars, the scripture isn't coming to my mind right now. The one where God told Joshua, he said that you're going to take the land here a little and there a little, line up on line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, you're going to take back the land. Don't forget, you're the land. You're the land. Every war that has been fought, even the war being fought now, has been about what? Land. You're the land. What were you made out of? Oh, hello. Excuse me. Thank you. You're valuable. You're important. But in order to maintain your deliverance, in order for you to go forth and do that God has called you to do, you cannot expect to be delivered all in one night. Now, I will attest to this, that God will deliver you of some things just like that. And you are delivered. But there are other things that you're going to have to take back line upon line and precept upon precept and here a little and there a little. I assure you it will not be overnight. And I used to wonder about it. But you know what? I stopped wondering about it when I came to the realization that anything that you have to fight for, anything you have to sacrifice for, like Mom said, okay, you can have a car, but you're going to have to come up with your portion of it. Oh, man, you washed cars. You did whatever was necessary to get your portion of it to get that car, right? So God says, okay, I'm going to set you free, but you're going to have to do something. I can do it overnight, but you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to put into this thing. So you got to put in praise. You got to put in worship. You got to put in obedience. You got to put in humility. You have to put these things in so that line upon line and precept upon precept and here a little and there a little, you can be set free. Why? Because once you have put all of that and invested all of that into your freedom, nobody is going to come along and take it real easy. It's almost like an inheritance. You lived in money, you had money all your life, and when the people die and leave you the inheritance, you just keep living like it's going to perpetuate itself until you die. And in some cases, that's not going to happen. Our inheritance is assured by what Jesus did on the cross. We can die, go to heaven, and live with God forever through eternity. But we got to put something in before we get there. And it makes getting there all the better. And it's not so hard because the things that God is asking us to put in are good for us. It's like castor oil. It tastes so good, but it's good for you. There are times when you need the castor oil or the cod liver oil. You know? It may not taste good. It may not be what you want to taste. But in the end, you feel a little better. So some things you need to get rid of and things you need to acquire so that your deliverance is sure. In the book of Jeremiah, as we continue to read in there, in this particular chapter, the Lord is going on and talking to Jeremiah about captivity and how long must they see the flag marking the roof, that's in 21, and hear the sound of the trumpet urging the people to flee for refuge. Well, when I read that, I'm not thinking about myself fleeing for refuge. I don't know. I tend to see things differently. I don't see myself fleeing for refuge. I see demons fleeing for refuge, trying to hide out behind different things in our lives to keep from being expelled. So when we begin to pray for each other, when we begin to pray for deliverance, a lot of times you have to set up embankments so that they can't run, so that they cannot hide. And when it's time to cast them out, you can make them line up in rank and file and go. And you have to come to agreement within yourself. You know, many times we feel, I need to be delivered from thus, thus, and so. I just know it. This is the thing. That's that thing. It's just manifesting. And I'm just sick of it, Lord. Oh, deliver me from anger, frustration. Just deliver me. And you still find yourself still getting angry every couple of 3 days. And you're just crying out to God. And then finally, it's like the light bulb goes on and you go, okay, God, what's the root? Why is it that this person, this thing, or this situation upsets me so much? So it gets right back to what Brother Monkey was talking about last night. Something back there in your family, something happened. And so therefore, you need to be aware of what the root is. And once you know what the root is, then you can go on and take the land. But if you get delivered from it and you don't know exactly what you've been delivered from, how many of you know that there's a good possibility on a quick shot you could fall back into it? I think it's a wonderful thing that God lets us know what we are being delivered from in His own time. Because people will tend, if they do not understand their past and what has caused them to do things that they should not have done, if they don't know who they are and it was never established in their past, you will probably commit or do that same thing over and over again until you get to the root of it. Amen? Return to me is what the Lord is saying. And He lays out in Jeremiah all of the things that will happen to us if we do not return to Him and give Him the praise and give Him the glory that He so deserves. And as I was sharing with the ladies, when you get to the 30th verse and the 31st verse of this scripture, it says, and you plundered one, you, my people, who have been plundered over by the heathen, who have been plundered over by best friends, for people who have hurt you, you plundered one. When you are made desolate, what will you do? After you come to the end of yourself, what will you do? Amen. Though you clothe yourself with scarlet, though you deck yourself with ornaments of gold, though you paint your eyelids and make them look farther apart, in vain you beautify yourself, your lovers or your allies despise you, they seek your life. And the interpretation that I got from that as I shared upstairs is that no matter what you do, no matter how you dress it up, there is a seal on you when you get saved. And every demon in hell recognizes it, even if you haven't even got the presence of mind yourself to recognize when you walk in a room and nobody knows you, you haven't done anything to anybody, and you walk in a room and everybody looking at you like, it's totally demonic, because they recognize the seal on you. And instead of getting all beside yourself, rushing to the bathroom, trying to see if there's anything on your shoe, looking at your husband, making sure his tie is straight and that you got him straight, Think about it. You've been sealed. So no matter how you dress yourself up, no matter how you put your makeup on, no matter what you look like, the enemy, the devil, knows who you are. Because you have been sealed. It has been predestined and ordained that you are saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And so what do you think is going to happen when you walk into a room of unsaved people? You think they're just going to embrace you? No.
So why you let them tap into that low self-esteem? Because you haven't really, 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 truly believed everything that you're saying about yourself. So you get nervous. You let a room full of demons make you nervous. Come on, guys. One shall set 1,000 to flight, and two what? Can set 10,000 to flight. So what if you bust up the party? They shouldn't have invited you. You just go to the party and be yourself, all Holy Ghost filled, talking nice, and they're just looking crazy and rolling their eyes and everything. And sister, how you doing? And she can't hardly look at you. That's all right. How you doing? I was good to see you. Girl, you look good. You lost some weight. And see, they want to know what's wrong with you because they know they're looking at you crazy. We're talking walking daily in the deliverance and a lifestyle that God has given us. And in His Word, He has already told us it don't matter how dressed up we are. It doesn't matter if we have gone and learned to put our makeup on just right. It's still going to be that there are demons out there that are going to be looking for your weak spot. And if your weak spot is insecurity and low self-esteem, and you do not believe that you are a prince, like this young man, or a princess, like a young lady, that you don't believe that you are a queen and this is your king, and when you walk in, all demons are supposed to bow because of what they see in you, and they trying to bow, they don't want to, and they mad at you. That's how I look at it when I go in. I be thinking to myself, I say, look at them demons bowing. Bless God. Bless God. Hallelujah. I need some more deliverance. I like this. You know, just in case I'm slipping over into pride because I like it, I'm going to get some deliverance. But you understand what I'm saying? The Bible has something for us on in every area that we're in. Right here, God is saying that there's really nothing wrong, as we talked about, with makeup. There's nothing wrong in desiring to dress up and look good and to smell good. What is wrong is the spirit behind it. If you don't really know who you are, and if the makeup that you're wearing is not an enhancement but a cover-up because you have a spirit of ugliness that you have not dealt with, because the Word of God says in Psalms that you are beautifully and wonderfully made. If you believe that everything that God makes is yes and amen, then you got to look in the morning, in the mirror every morning and say, yes and amen. Look at what God has done. Amen. Because you get to thinking about where I would be if God had not saved me. What would I be looking like at this point if God had not saved me and filled me with His precious Holy Spirit? Where would I be? Oh, bless God, I got my mind. I got a reasonable portion of my mind. I got the presence of mind to know I need to serve Him. Thank you, Jesus. So no matter if everybody else is saying that, you know, she's a little dysfunctional. Fine. Maybe I am a little dysfunctional, but maybe they're only looking at 15%. God done delivered me 85% a long time ago, so I don't care about the 15%, thank you, Jesus. Because there are some people that are sitting in some places pulling imaginary birds out of the air. So we have to realize that everything in God is yea and amen. He makes no mistakes. He has made us the way that we are, and we should be grateful in that. When you travel around the world, you see people of so many various shapes, sizes, and colors. And then when it all boils down, and you go to one place way around the world, and you see a person, and they look just like somebody in Chicago. And you'd be like, oh, man, only God would do this. The only difference is they're a little darker, and their hair is a little kinkier, and the girl in Chicago is white. But she looked just like her. God is an awesome God. He is an awesome God. And when we learn how awesome God is and that we are made in His image, then we will understand why He says to us on a constant basis, return to me. Return to me daily. Don't wait 5 or 6 days to come to me. I am your lover. I am your husband. I am your friend. Return to me daily. Just like you go home every day after you get off work, God is saying, return to me. Return to me daily and get at my feet so that you can put away the idols that have tried to set themselves up. Because many times you can get all caught up in work, and I'm guilty of that.
because I know that in my family line there was alcoholism. And with alcoholism, the children usually will either be workaholics, if they're not alcoholics, or shopaholics. So you have to get deliverance from those things. And if you receive deliverance from those things that have harassed and tormented you and keep you from being all that God has called you to be, because when I'm on the job, I'm just gone. I have to pray every morning. I can't miss a morning. There is so much stuff happening daily on that job. One day I got there and I did not pray, and I was sitting at the computer and I felt such stress and such fear. I sat there at that computer and I screamed to the top of my voice. I was like, "Whoo!" And I started binding and loosening. And I went into prayer in my office and I was like, no, this is not happening. But what if I didn't have deliverance? What if I did not know the God of miracles, the God who loves me? That thing would have overtaken me. And I'm telling you, there are people that I know, I felt that thing so strongly. I could have just lost my mind right there in that moment, been gone, and you guys would have been wondering, what happened to her? But because God loved me, and because back in 1986, He set me free, because I had an opportunity to sit under Win Worley and John Eckhart before Win died, because I had a mind to want to be saved, because I had experienced what it was to be with the warlock, because I had experienced death, accepting deliverance was not very hard for me. Amen? It was not very hard. So as I sat at that computer and I realized what was going on, and I began to cry out to God and seek and ask Him to help me get through this, I said, "Because God, I truly don't know. And the reason I don't know is because my mind is cluttered with the things of this world. Forgive me, God. Forgive me that I didn't pray this morning." You know, sometimes you can go 2-3 days, maybe 3-4 days, maybe 5 days, depending on where you are, what kind of lifestyle you live, and not pray. Might not bother you. But honey, something is getting ready to happen in my life, so it ain't going to be no 2 or 3 days. Well, I felt that thing on me. I knew just if I just didn't do something real quick, I was going to lose my mind. It was just that quick. So I know that I'm in the middle of a transition. And I know that God is getting ready to take me to another level. But that only happened because of the number of years that I spent believing God for deliverance, so that I can understand when He's getting ready to shift something. And He's getting ready to shift. So I had to catch myself. I said, okay, every day now I got to get it back on. I got to get the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. I have to shod my feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I got to get up every day not forgetting that this is war. And that there are people that I don't know about that God is getting ready to put in my realm of my sphere of importance to His kingdom. And I need to be ready. I need to be ready if I'm going to be able to crown Him with righteousness and bring this fallen youth pastor that's working for the city back into the flow. I can't go in there like I'm crazy and then start talking to him about deliverance, and I'm all over there on the computer worried. I had to get myself together. I was like, oh, wait a minute. I didn't come this far for this. So I had to minister to myself deliverance. I couldn't get to Glenn. I couldn't get to Doc. I needed it right then and there. Even before I can dial 7 numbers. No, I need it then. So we cannot wait 4 and 5 days to get before God to pray. You have to pray without ceasing every day. And then when those days come that you don't pray, you got a little backup. But don't run around 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 days not praying to God, and then everything starts falling apart and you want to know why. You missed your time with Him so He could tell you what was getting ready to happen. So we have to pray daily. We're all important. We all have a sphere or a realm of importance of people that nobody else will be able to talk to but us. I cannot minister to the same people you minister to. I can't minister to the same people that you minister to. I can't minister to the same people Doc ministers to. I can't minister to the same people that Glenn ministers to. I cannot. It's not my realm. It's not what I'm called to. So each of us in the tapestry of life must remember that we are called to a specific group of people at a specific time, and that means we have to be ready in season and out season and return unto God at the end of every day. Return into Him, taking off all of the stuff that has been heaped on us during the day. The last scripture in Jeremiah 4:31, it says that, "For I have heard a cry as of a woman in travail, the anguish as one who brings forth her first child, the cry of the daughter of Zion who gasps for breath, who spreads her hand, saying, woe is me now, I am fainting before the murderers." It's almost like in that moment she realizes, the church, the people of God, realize that they've been had. That all the dressing up and all the going to the parties and all of the networking and all of that that they were doing and not returning to God every evening and asking whether this is a networking session you should go to. And now I'm talking about the marketplace and people who are in business. I don't know who's going to get the tape. But I know that when you are in business, you have to take God with you. And even though your business may not be listed as a ministry, if you are a Christian believer, then your business is a ministry. Because you're going to operate it by Christian principles. And that's all the difference is between a prophet and a non-profit. A non-profit organization is a business, but it operates more in line with the Christian principles. Supposedly. So as I'm operating my business / my ministry, I have to remember that I'm going to be coming in contact with people who are talking about sums of money that I haven't got a clue. Y'all know I had a vision one time. I was just praying to God, talking about money. I'm like, oh, we need this amount. We need that amount. And I want you to know that God has yet to give me all the money I need. Oh, I tell you, He ain't gave me yet. Not even a little bit. But I have to find myself going on a diet because I get so much food. Somebody be taking me out all the time. I'm like, but I don't have no money, right? Every month, everything gets paid. But there literally does not seem to be any money coming in. Every month, you know, on Christmas, around my birthday, that's really, I really get before God around my birthday. Look, I'm 57 years old now. Ain't got no husband. I ain't got no kids. And I want a black pinstripe suit. So I want me a suit. I seen other women. Other women of God. They got suits. I want a suit. I want a good-looking suit. I don't see why I shouldn't have a suit. I've been sacrificing all these years trying to get this thing going. It's okay. Fine. So I just keep going along, doing what God wanted me to do. Still ain't got no money. I got the suit. God loves us. He just wants us to return to Him daily and honor Him and give Him glory for the things that He does. I'm grateful to Him for the restoration of my mind. I'm grateful to Him that, no, He still hasn't given me all the money, but guess what? Finally, Tuesday, Wednesday this week, we're going to be talking about the National Baptist Building to the tune of $5 to $10 million. Amen. And for some of those of you who don't know, that's a building that has stood empty for years. And we have felt that God wanted to do something in that building. And we knew that my organization was supposed to be in it, but we could not because that's so much money. Once God gave me a vision that He was going to bless me, and He showed me writing the check. And I was writing the check, and I got down to the part where you fill in the money. And it was so many zeros, I was looking around trying to find somebody to tell me when to stop. I didn't even know how to read it. I'm telling you, that's what He was showing me, you know. And I was like, because I really didn't know. It was so many zeros that I didn't know how It was just more money. So God was telling me it was going to be more money than I would know how to deal with. So then once he told me that, then the next thing that came upon me was, well, if I can't write the check, how am I going to handle this much money? So I just started praying and praying and praying. And people kept saying, I see help coming. And when it comes, it's just going to come like this. The breakthrough is coming. And when it comes, it's just going to come. Bah, 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 bah. It's just going to come. And I was like, oh, God. I came in 1 week. I said, Glenn, my whole board is gone. Ain't nobody but me and the president. Glenn said, God, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. God will fix it. I said, okay. So I'm like sitting in the office like, God, I have absolutely no board members. Don't tell nobody. Because if they find out you don't have no board members, you'll struggle. So I was like, I ain't telling nobody. So we just went along like we had board members. All of a sudden, board members came filled with the Holy Ghost, filled with faith and ready to be taught even if they wasn't saved. And they believed in what I was saying. They believed in what we were trying to do. And I didn't have to work so hard so much. I was like, oh, man. That was the first sign something was getting ready to happen. Glory to God. So I start every meeting out and I say, okay, we're just going to have silent prayer. Because we have some people there, you know, they're not where we are. So we just do a little silent prayer. Meantime, before they come, I anoint the bottom of the teeth and stuff, you know, get my little satay in before they come in and everything. And, you know, then we go right on into the meeting. And I'm telling you, to watch God take such a small group. And I call him my Gideon band, because he has taken such a small group of people to do such a wonderful thing. And they have been so supportive of me and what I'm doing. So then the next thing I knew, the guy at the city who had just been so against me, I mean so against women, period. It was just unbelievable how nasty he was. And I just would pray and pray, and I was so mad. I said, God, I don't think I'm going to pray, because I really am just really mad at this man, and I'm not praying in the right spirit, so let me just shut up for a little bit so I can get myself together. So I just pray. I say, well, God, just, you know, there must be something he's supposed to be doing someplace else, because nobody should be this mean and honorable. Honorary, you know what I'm saying? And I just kept praying. That man went in one day and just retired on the spot. Just retired. He was just like, I'm done. And he left. And so now we have another guy in there. That's the guy I'm telling you that's the retired. That's the one that's the backslidden youth pastor. And he's in there. And so something told me, I dropped a few Christianese words on him, and he was like, uh-huh. I was like, mm-hmm, okay. And so now he has moved everything into the place that I had cried out to God about. You know, you cry out to God as and you say, Lord, the thing that's not happening is they don't even have any respect for me. This word here is so important that it doesn't matter. I was dressing like them. I was doing everything right, but nothing was happening. And I finally said, okay, and I got out of everything, every organization, everything that anybody wanted me in. I dropped it. I got out of it. I started focusing on what God had given me to focus on, and all was I selfish. How dare me be that selfish and just get out of the group and drop all these people and everything. But I was checking them out. They weren't respecting me. They was using me. And I'm like, no, that can't happen. Not just because of me, but who I am in God. You can't use God like that. That ain't working. So I said, well, who do I cut off and what do I do? And God showed me who I cut off and what I did, and I did it. And I backed up and went in my office and I stayed in there. And when I came out again, this man was in position. He had called Fannie Mae. The National Trust for Historic Preservation is in on it. They got a meeting on Tuesday and another one on Wednesday. And when it's over with, I got a call from a guy filled with the Holy Ghost. Met him in Chicago at a meeting that another man, who is one of the people who gives to our organization, a funder, I said, well, we're doing a thing on Arkansas to Chicago connection. How people in Arkansas and Chicago are connected and went back and forth in the old days. And why was Hot Springs so important to the African-American experience and therefore to the experience of our nation and of our state? Why? What made it so important? So I'm digging into all of this. Met him, got sent up there on the plane, first class, paid out no money, first class hotel. Met all these people. Met Jerry Butler, too. I know Jerry Butler. This one used to sing those songs. I was like, whoa, I'm in high cotton. One guy from Forest City, Arkansas, had his card, kept his card. His card kept coming out at me, but I didn't get no move to call. All of a sudden, I call. I'm talking to him. And he said, I said, well, yeah, I'm this and I'm that and I met you. And yeah, okay. Woo! Brother Prophet, he's flowing in the Holy Ghost. He picked up all of this stuff and we were talking. Found out that he had already understood how to get $5 million and make it work in his community so that the people could be blessed and he could build houses and put people in homes and so forth and so on. And he was like this banker that went to Forest City and then the bank thing didn't work. So he was stuck there. So he just began to work in this nonprofit. So automatically he's telling me, do you know that if they use your organization to get tax credits, these tax credits are going to go on for as long as 15 to 16 years. And in doing that 15 to 6-year time, they're going to be making somewhere in the amount of $5,000 or more per year. Now, that may be wrong. It may be like, you know, because it's a $10 million effort. But, I mean, that's just $5,000 like coming in, I think it's a month, $5,000 coming in a month off of those tax credits. And the developers did not want us to know that. And it was so much money and such a big financial packaging deal that we would not have known as a minority organization. Return unto God. As a minority organization, I would not have known that we were supposed to have a percentage of that. And that would be our sustainability for the next 15 or 20 years as a nonprofit organization. I didn't know. And that's why God did not let anything happen before all of these other people and these other things were in place, because he knew he could trust them to tell me. And they're all Christians, filled with the Holy Ghost. The kind of people you send three or four sheets of paper and they read the three or four sheets of paper and call you up and tell you about your mail that you didn't send them over a year ago and what it means to you and how you can continue to be a blessing to your community, to those who don't even know you, who don't even like you, who think you're in it for yourself. Return unto me, saints, is what God is saying. There is nothing too little for God. He loves us. He loves the very hairs on our head. He is concerned about our daily walk. He is concerned about our jobs. He is concerned about our children. He is concerned about us and everything that concerns us. When you read the Bible, when you read in the book of Psalms, it tells us that he's concerned about us. He is concerned about us. He is concerned about everything that we do. And if we will take it back to him and give it to him, because it's his in the first place, and we honor him by giving it back to him like we do with our tithes and offering, he has no other choice than to bless it, because you have honored him with your giving, you've honored him with your life, you have honored him with all that he has given to you by giving it back to him so he can fix it, so that he can cause it to go in the way that he wants it to go. Because how many of you know that when God does a thing, it's a win-win situation? When we get in the middle of it and try to hook up and connect and network stuff and make things happen based on who we know, we are surely going to leave something out. Because there's this thing that people call chance. Well, there's no chance and there's no deja vu in God. So when God put it together, it's all going to come together. The pieces of the puzzle fit and you get a clear picture of what it is that God has wanted to do all along. And if you just keep going to God, returning to him, honoring him, and letting him bless you, he will cause your enemies to be your footstool. I have watched my enemies begin to call me up and bring things to me, begin to call me up and offer things to me. And I'm like, I don't want everybody's gift. Got them little strings attached to it. So we need to know that God is so interested in us and he so much loves us that he'll take you from $347.64 a month to looking at a deal that's going to be worth over $10 million. But you got to be obedient. You got to return unto God. Amen? Amen. Let's just pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to share my testimony and to share you with them, with the people of God. I thank you, Father God, that all you want us to do is to return unto you. And Father God, I pray right now that every word that has been spoken, Father God, that you will anoint that word, Father God, for the people to be strengthened, for the people, Father God, to be encouraged, to return to you with everything that they have, not just every now and then, but on a daily basis, so that your word and that you want to grow in us, Father God, can grow, that we can take back the land that the enemy has stolen from us, line upon line and precept upon precept, and here a little and there a little, O God. I thank you, Father God, for each and every person that is here. I thank you for their families. I thank you for their loved ones. I thank you, Father God, that you are concerned about us and you're concerned about our families. I thank you, Father God, that the blood of Jesus, your Son, the Holy Lamb of God, is applied to each and every situation. I thank you, Father God, for deliverance. I thank you, Father God, that you will deliver us from spirits of disobedience. I thank you, Father God, that there is a wedge between rebellion and rejection in our lives, O God, and that we can see clearly, Father God, that you have not rejected us, that, Father, that you have not rejected us. And, Father, I bind the accuser of the brethren in the lives of these people, Father God, these your people. We bind them with fetters of iron dipped in the blood of Jesus. I thank you, Father. We bind and separate rebellion and rejection right now in the name of Jesus, and we come against those spirits of low self-esteem, that I'm not all that in a bag of chips, but your word says that we can do all things and that we are all things through Christ who strengthens us, O God. Father, I praise you and I thank you for your people as we come against those spirits, Father God, of low self-esteem, insecurity, doubt, and unbelief, as we come against the spirit of mind control, Father, that causes us to continue to do the same thing the way that we have always done. And Father, I loose a word of change upon your people, God, in the name of Jesus, that they will look in the mirror and see what you see, God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, I come against that spirit of pride right now in the name of Jesus, and we bind it with fetters of iron dipped in the blood of Jesus, and we loose the spirit of humility, and we loose the spirit of obedience upon your people, God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you that we have the mind of Christ, Father God, so that as the word is preached forth and as you speak to us and give us wisdom, that we have the mind of Christ and that we understand the parables that deep calleth unto deep, and that we will understand what you are saying to us, God, and that we will not run ahead of you, God, but that we shall have faith, hope, and trust in you, O God, and that we shall stand firm, Father God, and that we shall wait for you to tell us when to go, that we are warriors, Father God, well-trained and well-equipped and well-able to use all of the instruments that you have given us, O God, by your Spirit. And that, Father God, we thank you that the Spirit of the living God resides on the inside of us. We thank you for the fruit of the Spirit that is made manifest in our life. Kindness, godliness, Father God, love, Father God, that permeates through our very being, O God. Father God, we thank you that perfect love casts out all fear. Father, we bind and break off of us the inability to give and receive love, O Father. We bind and break off of us, Father, spirits of division and divorce, O God, in the name of Jesus. And we curse that thing at the root in the name of Jesus. Father, we worship you. We adore you. There is none like you, God. We thank you, Father God. We thank you that we bind the spirits of selfishness, self-righteousness, self-pity, and we curse those spirits at the root in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you, Father. We give you glory and honor, God, in Jesus' name, Father. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Ando se baradara horabasite rosekai di Dios sandi di Dios sata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We give you the glory, Lord. We give you all of the honor, Lord. For there is none like you, O Lord. You are worthy, God. You are high and lifted up, O God. We worship you, God. You are King of kings and Lord of lords. We adore you, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are the eternal God. You are Emmanuel. You are our deliverer. And we worship you, God. We thank you for our deliverance. We thank you, O God. We thank you, Father. We praise you, God. We give you glory, God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you that you hover over us like a hen hovers over her chick. We thank you that, God, you wait in our tomorrow so that we can become full in today to serve you better. We thank you, Father. We give you the glory and the honor. Father, we bind backlash and retaliation. We bind the spirit of nemesis. We bind these spirits over ourselves and over this campground. Father, I ask you right now in the name of Jesus for a fresh anointing on this campground. A fresh anointing on Gwen and Doc and on Patty and on Kevin, on Ronald, on Bruce, on all of those that are on this campground. God, a fresh anointing that will bring in with it creativity and administration. Let the spirit of Daniel and Joseph be in the house, God, that ideas and witty inventions, Father God, so that the people will come in to get this choice, meaty word that is set up every quarter for them, God. Let them come from the east, the west, the north, and the south, God, to get this word, God. For they need this word, for this is your word of deliverance. This is your word of freedom, God. And we bind every hindering force, everything that would stop the people of God from coming in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God, that there is a place in the south where people don't want to go because they think nothing is going on. Father, we ask you to break that off of their minds, God, and let them know that we got it going on because you're here, God. And this is where the party is. This is where we line up to become warriors. This is where you pour into us that we need to know so that we can return unto you, God. Oh, Father, we need a fresh anointing. We need a creative miracle in the house, God, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we won't forget to give you the praise nor the glory. We pray, Father God, for those that are in the kitchen cooking the food. We ask you to bless them. Bless the hands that prepared it. Give them witty inventions about menus and meals, Father God. Touch their hands that they just be back there cooking and start cooking and just cook till they can't cook no more, God. And make it palatable to the taste of the people, God. Oh, Father, we're not just saying it because we're gluttonous, but, Father God, there is something about fellowship when we come together to eat with the saints and to talk about you and to talk about the miracles that you have wrought in our lives. We ask you to bless us, Father God. Bless the ground. Cause flowers to grow where they have not been planted so that it's welcoming to those that are coming in, God. Cause the ideas about water being sold to be made manifest and to come into being, God. Let there be creative miracles, Father God, financially, Father God, for all of the people that are here. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray. And Father, I break and I bind the spirit of lack. I break and I bind the spirit of poverty off of us, God, in the name of Jesus. And I speak forth your word that says, yea and amen, that we're blessed coming in and we're blessed going out, that everything that our hands touch will be blessed, God. And we won't forget to give you the praise. We won't forget to give you the glory. We won't forget to give you the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.